Hi, this is Kevin Clark. I'm chief correspondent for America Media. I'm visiting today with Father Bernard Kinvey from Bosentele, the Central African Republic. What do you think is the significance of Pope Francis's visit next week? Mm-hmm. How do you think the people will receive him? And is it dangerous for the Pope to be visiting Central African Republic right now?
Objectivement, je sais.
Objectively, I know that it could be dangerous because I've lived in the country and I know that some people can be can act crazy. So, I mean, there was two priests that that died during this conflict, and I know that there were other pastors as well that died during the conflict. But at the same time, I know that the visit of the Pope would be of an incredible importance for us because he's not only meeting with Christians, he's also going to the main mosque and he's going to pray with Muslims there, and it's a great symbol for reconciliation. And there's been an announcement that was made by the Seleka forces asking their groups and other Muslims in car to receive well the Pope, to not do anything violent, and not to do anything violent to the Christian fiddles that would go and would be listening.
Do you think the Seleka look to him also with hope, the same hope that some Christians who wish for reconciliation?
So I mean, I'm not really sure what their, you know, what their true hope is, but I mean, I reread that announcement that they made, and according to their own words, they're hoping that the visit for the Pope could mean an advancement in kind of a path to reconciliation.
What do you personally hope the Pope will do in Bangui and for the country?
Je pense le pape en venant va ouvrir les portes du jubilé de la miséricorde en Centrafrique.
So I'm hoping that his visit is going to kind of open the doors of Mr.
Jubilé, jubilé de la miséricorde.
Jubilation of
the Jubilee of Mercy.
And it's also a request for to ask for forgiveness for the evil that has happened in Central African Republic. And it's also a great benediction for the country.
In just a matter of a few months, you went from the Seleka being in charge of Central African Republic to then a backlash from the anti-Belaka forces. What happened to your community and how did you have to respond?
Bon, à partir de 2013,
so in 2013, there was a rebellion called Seleka that was mostly Muslim, and they took over the government in Bangui, the capital. So when they took power, they also divided between each other the different provinces, and then went and terrorized the population, killing people, taking over property. So the local communities decided to rise up and respond to these Seleka forces that were oppressing them. So they formed another self-defense group, another militia group called the Anti-Balaka. So the first step we took was get together. I got together with other priests, with other pastors, with other imams to find kind of a common platform and a common language to talk to our communities and find a way to make sure that it wouldn't be hate ruling and that suddenly there would be divisions that were racial or ethnic. So many times I went with fellow pastors to try to mediate and make them understand that if fighting did occur, it would be civilians that would be the largest amount of lost lives. So when the anti-Balaka started fighting back, they weren't only attacking Seleka forces, they decided to attack everyone who was Muslim, since a majority of the Seleka militia was Muslim. So what I did was I opened my hospital to both Muslim and non-Muslim refugees that were coming, and it was a huge amount. I also would go out into the different neighborhoods. There were a lot of people that were killed and hurt, and so bring them back to my hospital, and a lot of times I just had to do that with a small carriage since his car was stolen from him before that. Those that weren't Muslim eventually were able to get back their property, but the refugees, the people that I had there who were Muslim, and it was about 1,500, mostly women and children, could not go back, and so I had to take care of them and feed them and protect them. And then kind of started another aspect of our job, which was to be able to get these displaced persons out into safety in Cameroon. It was a very difficult process, but thanks to the grace of God, we were able to do it. And so this, at this point where things were very difficult is when Human Rights Watch came by, and they helped me a lot make contacts with UN peacekeeping forces, the HCR, to help me get these people to safety. Another fear we have as well is the way media portrayed this conflict. They said that it was a conflict between Christians and Muslims only. And so our fear is that some of the refugees who are in these camps in Cameroon, that's kind of a great audience for extremism and radicalization. And so we're afraid that if they're left there with no hopes of coming back, that they might get angry and come back and maybe do attacks against churches or other centers. So another aspect, we've created a commission for peace, truth, and reconciliation, and we travel to these camps in Cameroon, try to kind of be brothers to them, and think of ways where they could come back and be part of the community in peace once again. So right now this is going very slowly and very carefully, but we have hope that that we'll be able to find a solution.
What is the security situation in your community now?
La situation sécuritaire est très précaire parce que les milices.
So the situation is really precarious right now. Because the militias are still there, and they are even more heavily armed, and they can commit crimes and kill people, and no one is going to say anything. And I mean, we have UN peacekeeping forces there, there's government forces, there's police, but the anti-balaka kill people, you know, left and right, and nothing is done.
Why is that?
Pourquoi c'est ça?
Je voudrais bien le savoir, mais je sais pas pourquoi.
I would really like to know, but I don't know. There's been many times when I've heard that someone is being threatened or tortured, and so I've gone to the UN peacekeeping forces, and they didn't help me. And then I went to the police and asked for help, and they didn't do it. So it has to be me or one of my fellow priests that go and negotiate for someone's life with the militias. And every time we've gone and we're there in time, we've been able to save those people. There's been 15 people that we've been able to save through negotiations, but there's also been 7 people that we weren't able to get there in time, and they were killed.
Is it dangerous for you to engage in these negotiations?
Yeah, it's definitely very dangerous, but thanks to my role as the director of the hospital, and it's one of the only hospitals in the area, there's always someone I know who's been taken care of at that hospital, whether it's one of the militiamen or maybe a parent or something. So there's always someone that I can talk to that will usually listen to me, and that can help so that I finally convince them to give me the person that's in danger.
If the anti-balaka have driven out the Salika and they have driven out the Muslim people, who are they preying on now? Who are these people that you're saving? People from their own communities?
Yeah, absolutely. They kill themselves, their own people, their own community. Any cars that come, they'll kind of stop them and steal. They just have gotten used to killing. I think they're bandits, and now that they have guns, they don't want to let go of them. So, I mean, the peacekeeping force, the UN peacekeeping force, are really not liked by anyone in the community, to the point that the president of the transitional government now has issued a statement saying that they're not doing much for security, and so they're not very effective. So they do something, probably, but they're very discredited in the area. But I have to admit, I mean, there's been a couple situations where they have intervened. So that, I mean, they're the least of the evils that we have, and maybe having their presence has kept the worst from happening. So kind of the biggest, the newest discussion that this president and kind of her cabinet has had was try to regroup the National Army forces, because they realize that they can't rely on the UN peacekeeping forces to secure.
What do you think Americans should understand about what's happening in your country, and how do you think during this week, when the Pope is visiting, they can help or participate in helping your country?
The first
thing they can do is join together in prayer. The other thing I see is just these militias who keep getting new guns, new weapons, very new ones. So if there is any way that the American people could do something to stop this kind of illegal flow of guns and other weapons, that would be very helpful. The third thing is the huge issues of impunity, where people kind of are walking around after they killed people and they continue to do it. So I'm dreaming of a time where we could have a process of justice that would allow people to know that if you do something like that, there will be consequences. And that would be a way of diminishing the violence that is taking over the country. And the other thing is the country is extremely rich in diamonds, in gold, in uranium, in oil. And so Americans should know that if they're buying these resources from Central African Republic, they might be participating in the killing of people in this country. Right, if they're buying them in illegal ways.
Mm-hmm. So there's blood diamonds, there's blood uranium, blood gold, a lot of raw materials coming out of Central African Republic that are of suspect origin.
Donc il y a du sang sur l'or, les diamants, les ça, c'est il y a des formes très suspectes.
C'est ça qui alimente la guerre.
So that's a little bit that's something that is feeding on the conflict. So, I mean, journalists, for the most part, are saying this is a conflict between religions, this is a conflict between communities, but they very rarely mention the resources that have been creating conflicts for a long time.
The Pope's visit to the average person, both the Muslim and Christian, what do you think it will mean to them? What will it do for their spirit and their hope?
Si j'écoute tout le monde, ils disent...
If I hear kind of what is being said, everyone thinks that it will be a time of grace, a moment where you can leave aside your differences and your fighting and can be reconciled.
Did people think that your country and its problems had been forgotten, and does this visit help restore some hope that the international community is paying attention?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's going to be, the media is going to be all over it. So people that had never heard about the conflict after the visit will hear about Central African Republic and kind of what's going on there. As I've been visiting, as I've been traveling in the United States, I've realized that a lot of people didn't even know there was a country called Central African Republic or where it is, never mind that there is a conflict in there.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Father Bernard Kinvey. Thank you so much, Father Bernard, and I hope you know that all our hopes and prayers are traveling with you back to Central African Republic this week as Pope Francis comes to visit Kenya, Uganda, and the Central African Republic. Thanks for tuning in.